Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. We're going to begin today in Israel, where this morning two Palestinian assailants stormed a synagogue in West Jerusalem, killing at least four worshippers. Three of them were Americans. The fourth was a British Israeli. Police arrived on the scene quickly and shot and killed the attackers. Today's attack follows recent unrest that included an attack on an Orthodox Israeli rabbi. He'd been advocating for Jews to have access to the Temple Mount. That's one of the holiest sites in Israel for both Jews and Muslims. That incident led to the temporary closing of the site. Ambassador Man Rashid Erekat, chief representative of the PLO to the United States, said it's part of what he sees as the rise of religious extremism in the conflict between Palestine and Israel.
Well, I believe extremists on both sides will gain advantage. You have extremists on the Israeli side as well who want to turn this conflict into a religious conflict.
We're going to hear more from Ambassador Erekat in just a few minutes. But now we're joined by David Horovitz, editor of the Times of Israel. David, welcome.
Hi, Todd.
You just heard from Ambassador Erekat, the Palestinian ambassador to the United States, lamenting what will happen if the political and territorial conflict between Palestinians and Israelis becomes a religious one. He was warning about that. It would seem, given the news that you and I are talking about now, that that might be exactly what's happening.
Well, it's all very well for the Palestinian ambassador to lament it, but unfortunately, it's the Palestinian leadership in the last few weeks that has misrepresented the situation on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and seems to be stoking a religious conflict.
So you're maintaining that the Palestinian leadership is using the religious aspect of this conflict and stoking it for leverage?
Well, not only me, Secretary of State Kerry, quite strikingly, spoke to Mahmoud Abbas soon after the synagogue attack and thanked him for condemning it, but made clear that the calls for days of rage, which have come from Abbas's Fatah organization, are inciting passion and consequent acts of terrorism. There's been a change of tone, a drastic radicalization of tone. Again, Hamas wants to destroy Israel. It's an Islamic organization. Terrorist organization took over Gaza and makes plain its goal. But the Palestinian Authority is supposed to be, as I say, a relatively moderate group that claims it wants to live in peace alongside Israel. That's not the tone, and we're now unfortunately seeing some of the consequences.
That's not the tone, and don't you think in many ways, at least up until this morning, that this type of attack that Hamas would back, a religious-based attack, a murderous attack, would be a problem for the Palestinian Authority, for the PLO, which is trying to keep the violent impulses, the religious impulses of its erstwhile partner, Hamas, at bay?
We're talking about relative stances and tones here. I don't think that Mahmoud Abbas was directly involved in the synagogue attack. I don't necessarily think that he wanted it, but I certainly think there's been a change of tone. It was just a few weeks ago that he falsely accused Israel of carrying out genocide in Gaza in the summer. A few days ago, he spoke about it being unacceptable for extremists and settlers, as he put it, to contaminate the Temple Mount. Again, I would stress, and I hope maybe some Palestinians are listening, the Temple Mount is the holiest place in Judaism. It's the site of the third holiest shrine in Islam. It's holy to both peoples. Israel chose not to allow Jews to pray there. But people should not derive from that the narrative that I think Yasser Arafat used to tell the Palestinians. There was no temple in Jerusalem. By extension, there's no Jewish sovereign legitimacy in this part of the world.
David Horovitz, I need your advice before we let you go. 1994, people will remember that an Orthodox Jewish doctor named Baruch Goldstein went into a mosque in Hebron, killed 29 people with a gun before he was beaten to death, seemingly in an attempt to religify the same conflict that's going on today. Now we see more attacks, smaller scale, but in public, people praying in a synagogue. How do you think leaders should at least
de-escalate the current situation, and I can't believe I'm asking for this, but at the very least, just keep it political and territorial and marginalize the religious extremists.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because I think the only way out of this is to complicate the Palestinian narrative. I think the Palestinians do not believe that the Jewish nation has any history in this part of the world, because I think that they're educated and their media and their spiritual leaders tell them that the Jews have no history in this part of the world. And therefore, I think if you want to de-escalate and ultimately solve this conflict, as well as bringing leaders together and trying to foster moderation among them, you have to change the diet. That's not what the Palestinians are getting. And the synagogue terrorist attack is just one terrible consequence of a mindset and an education of indoctrination to hostility against Israel and Jews.
Another dimension to an ongoing conflict that we've seen all year, political and territorial, of course, has now taken on yet another religious dimension. David Horowitz, editor of The Times of Israel, thank you.
Thank you.
We want to play for you now my interview with Man Rashid Erekat, chief Palestinian representative of the PLO to the United States. You heard a cut of him just a few minutes ago reflecting on what he calls the rise of religious extremism. I spoke to Ambassador Erekat yesterday before today's attacks in West Jerusalem. Our conversation focused mostly on the bloody year between Israelis and Palestinians. Now, Erekat's convinced a two-state solution can be worked out. He's grateful for the support from the United States, but
unless the United States shows some resolve and determination to put an end to this conflict and take a leading role in telling all the parties that they will hold them equally accountable, it will be difficult if we continue to appease Israel, if we continue to provide Israel with political cover, if we continue to tell Israel you can get unlimited financial and military support and we will provide political cover for you at the United Nations. What incentive do the Israelis have to move forward?
Ambassador Man Rashid Erekat, everyone is looking forward to the last 2 years of the Obama presidency. A lot of Palestinians had a hope for this president, that he was a little more oriented to their aspirations than maybe past U.S. presidents had been. And as Palestinians and Israelis confront a new U.S. leadership, whoever that is, after 2016, Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State and possible Democratic candidate for president, is seen as a lot more hawkish and pro-Israeli interest than other Democrats. And Republicans writ large don't seem to be quite as friendly to the Palestinian cause.
Well, first of all, I still believe that President Obama continues to be interested in seeing a resolution to the conflict. I know deep inside he wants to see a resolution to this conflict, and he is trying. His Secretary of State, I have to, you know, to salute his efforts and his energy and his persistence, you know, to try to bring the Palestinians and the Israelis back to the negotiating table. You know, this commitment, I think, is strong. You know, the remaining 2 years should be an opportunity for the Obama administration to try to do something there with all the results of the midterm elections. But let me say something. I mean, this is a struggle by a people for independence and freedom. We have been struggling for the last 47 years to try to end the Israeli military occupation of the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, East Jerusalem, establish our own state. With all due respects, U.S. policies are not going to determine the future of our people, neither the Congress nor the future President of the United States. They can be as hawkish as they want to be. They can be as pro-Israel as they want to be. Our resolve and determination to end the Israeli occupation, to be independent, to live in freedom and dignity will not change and will not waver. And therefore, I think it is in the best interest of the United States, if they don't want to find themselves isolated with Israel in the future, to stand by the struggle of the Palestinian people for independence and freedom, while at the same time working to secure the security of all the parties in the region.
You know, on your side of the conflict as well, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been prime minister from 96 until 99 and then again in 2009. Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority since 2005. I wonder if you don't think that on both sides of this conflict in Israel and Palestine, it might be time for some new blood on both sides that can bring maybe a new perspective and maybe a new identity to this conflict and maybe a settlement.
I think this is something that is inevitable. At some point in the future, there will always be change. In the case of Prime Minister Netanyahu, I know it has to do with his personality, with his commitment and devotion to his ideology. Prime Minister Netanyahu does not want it to be on his book that a Palestinian state was established. I know that for sure, and many of Israeli friends told me the same thing, that he, although he maybe believed that there has to be a Palestinian state, he doesn't want it to be on his book, to be recorded that during his prime ministership that, a Palestinian state was established. On the Palestinian side, President Abbas has repeatedly, without any question, expressed his willingness to end the conflict peacefully with Israel, to compromise with Israel, to make, establish a Palestinian state. I think it has to do with the commitment to the principles that are needed to resolve this conflict more than to the personalities. It's clear that some leaders are different from others, and, they don't take the pragmatic practical approach and they stick to ideology. But what we need here is a commitment to the principles, the foundation that is needed to resolve this conflict. Israelis know that. Palestinians know that. There will be a two-state solution, a shared Jerusalem, an agreed-upon resolution to the Palestinian refugee problem, agreed-upon security arrangements that will provide security for Israelis and Palestinians, water, sharing water resources. We all know the parameters. We are, the sooner we agree, the better off everybody will be.
Ambassador Man Rashid Erekat is the chief Palestinian representative of the PLO to the United States.